Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. Welcome to everybody that's here. Welcome to those who are downstairs in our fellowship room and those of you that are watching from home. I know it's a day late, but happy 4th of July. This is a different 4th of July this year, but we still have much to be thankful for. And part of that we're going to celebrate when we partake in communion together later on. Just a couple announcements that I just want to go over with you guys. In your bulletin, you can see we're going to start this now. I know it's only the beginning of July, but August 23rd, we're having our annual Safe Church meeting for our kids and also new guidelines of what it may look like if we open in the fall. And with that, we also need some help in the nursery and also in Sunday school. So if you're interested in helping in the nursery, please see Gina Whaley, and Sunday school, please see Linda Hansen. Also, this Friday, exciting time, we are going to have our second night of worship. So we are going to get together here in the sanctuary at 6:30 for anyone who's interested in coming. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long, so we invite everyone and all, that means children as well, you're all welcome to attend. And I think that's all that we have today. Does anyone else have anything? So see Lisa if you want to sign up. Okay, then let's worship the Lord together with our call of worship on page number 45 in our silver hymnals.
He's my Savior. We praise you, Almighty God. We're so thankful for this time, for the freedom to come and to worship and to sing your praises. We just can't keep from singing your praises. We're just not going to stop, Lord. We love you. We want to praise you and worship you. And we invite the fullness of your presence. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. May there be less of us and more of you in our midst. Bring your holy word today. Oh, Lord, our world needs you. You need us to be a witness to the world, and we pray for your church, your one church, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a coming together, a beautiful mosaic for your good work throughout this land, throughout the world. So now, Almighty God, draw us together with Jesus as the head of his church. Draw us together as one. As we pray the prayer from your word that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our Old Testament scripture today is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, and you'll find it in your pew Bibles on page 215. Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions weren't widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, Here I am. And ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been yet revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was talking to the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. And on that day, I will fulfill against Eli all I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or suffering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He said, Here I am. And Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Our New Testament reading can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, and it's page 792 in your pew Bible. And it's Jesus thanking his Father. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. Now let us prepare our hearts for partaking in communion later on in the service. Let us take a few moments of silence before the Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. All right, children, come on up.
Lord bless those kids. Professor Jerome Lejeune, he discovered the chromosomal pattern for Down syndrome. He told the story from a colleague, a geneticist, a doctor, a friend, about his own father. So he said this: many years ago, my father, a Jewish physician in Braunau, Austria, delivered two babies on the same day. One was a little boy. He was healthy. He was screaming, crying out, and the parents were so proud and happy. The other was a little girl, and they were shocked at first. They were concerned, for there was something different about this little girl, and it turned out she had Down syndrome. And so they were sad. They didn't know what to do. This doctor followed the children for 50 years, just followed their lives. And And the young girl, she grew up taking care of her mother who had a stroke for many years, a long illness. She was suffering, and this girl with Down syndrome was taking care of her mom and actually lived a good long life herself. And the gentleman telling the story says, "I don't remember the name of that young lady." And he said, "But I do remember the name of the other baby that was born, the boy. He died in a bunker in Berlin. His name was Adolf Hitler." I had the same response when I heard this story. Two children born on the same day, two different paths taken in life. God has created us, each of us, for His purpose. And it's up to us, and with the church's help, to find out what is that purpose for each child of God that's been created. Throughout biblical history, we've seen certain children marked out, you know, in the Bible story for God's future and using them in miraculous ways and sacrificial ways. And we could talk about stories of Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Moses and Miriam and Aaron and Joshua. Joshua is important today because he was a young boy that he grew up around the tabernacle in the wilderness. You know, God delivered the people out of Egypt, and they had wandered the desert for 40 years. And that's what, you know, Joshua grew up in. He hung around the tent, the priests, and he learned. And that's why he was given the right to take the people into the promised land. Moses, his legacy was over. Joshua, who grew up around the things of God, around the tabernacle of God, led the people of Israel, the children, into the promised land. He said this at the end of his life. He would die shortly after this. Joshua 24. "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, who they serve beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." You know, heaven forbid. But Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's now time to choose. We're in a day and age, it's time to choose. Who are we going to serve? God is doing something new. He's all about renovating and building an enduring spiritual house. The Church of Christ. Renovating. Building and a renewing an enduring house. God is speaking. He's giving strategies. Have we positioned ourselves in the right place to be hearing from Him? Do we know how to do that? Well, let's look to Samuel. Samuel was marked by God as an infant. God positioned him. He trained him. He mentored him. He tutored him around the things of God and the tabernacle of God, around the anointing of God and His ways. That's the kind of training I want for the rest of my life and for the kids that are part of this church and that will be part of this church. That's exactly what they need to be about. And we'll get to that. But Samuel, what was unique about him? I mean, the story was great. And Dave, you have an incredible reading voice. Although you were on radio way back in the day, right? So he's got that voice. But Samuel, he didn't get caught up in following the despicable behavior of Eli's sons. We don't even want to say the kind of things that they said that they did. Wow. You can read about it in the first couple chapters. But he didn't live that life. And the word of the Lord came through an individual who came to Eli's house, his tent, back in 2:29-31. That said, "That's the house whose strength is being broken." You know, Samuel did not follow the behavior of those two sons that were wicked. Because the house, the strength of that house was being broken. God had a plan for him, for an enduring house. And he kept him from the house whose strength was being broken. Eli's house. So he didn't follow the wickedness of the sons. Their wickedness brought a curse upon them, if you read a story. Thank God for God's mercy and grace in our life that our behavior that we have done in our past or are living now does not remain as a curse upon us. We have a God who's forgiving and delivering and healing, and His grace is sufficient. But back in the day, those sons would have to pay for their wickedness. God was not going to allow it any longer. Time for a change. It's interesting in our cultural context. During this shutdown, we know that the future will be drastically different. It's already different. We're almost 4 months in. A spiritual renovation must occur, and it is happening. It's to see what God is doing, positioning churches that are open, that are willing, that are ready. It was too late for Eli and his sons. Eli's legacy was over. God would do something new and lasting and enduring following the anointing of His ways. Not the ways of the house whose strength or the behavior, the strength of the house is being demolished. It was being broken. But God would do something new and lasting. A prophet would be raised up. And just the beginning, because a school of prophets, a whole line of prophets, it begins with Samuel. So we'll take a look at a little of that. But Christ's church, in this new day and era, will not be led by pastors and leaders that are living outright immoral lives, who honor those living in outright sin rather than, more so than honoring God. Those who are not calling people to repentance, to turn from their wicked ways, because God is merciful. He will forgive. He will heal our land. The churches, those churches, and Lord, have mercy on us. The churches may be eradicated. If they do not change, many churches will crumble this year and the years ahead, just like the pattern of the last 10 years. Those who do not want to honor God and His Word, their churches are shutting down. But many churches are being renovated spiritually. It's nice to have renovations. Physical renovations, but many churches are being spiritually renovated and renewed. Are you in the midst of that refining and that iron sharpening of iron that's happening right now? I see it happening in many of the people around. I see it happening in many of you. God wants 110%, all of us. God has given this doorway of opportunity. All right, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Samuel didn't get caught up in the negative, the bad behavior that was just leading down a bad path. What was he about? What was he taught? Just briefly, and then we'll go into a little bit deeper. Well, he became part of what it says in 2:35, an enduring house being built by the Lord. He walked in God's anointed ways. I love that line. I love that scripture. I claim that. I declare that in Jesus' name for this church at this corner. We will be built up into an enduring house, and we will walk in the anointing of the Lord God Almighty without fear and with much love and compassion. Come, Holy Spirit, come. But he did what God told him to do. He said what God told him to say. As Dave was reading, is he 10 years old, Janie? He doesn't want to share with the old priest what he said. Oh, no. My first word. Yeah, I heard from the Lord, all right. That's why Eli had to say, do not hold it back. I know it's bad. Tell me. But he did what is according to God's heart and soul, 235. Samuel was raised up as a faithful priest, the beginning of a bunch of priests, a bunch of prophets. He anointed the first two kings, Saul and David. He was there. He poured the oil on them. So let's look more specifically, just for a few minutes, at the text, 1 Samuel 3, and observe how God situated Samuel. You know, he situated Samuel in three strategic ways. Three strategic ways. First, Samuel's family positioned him. We need more families to be positioning their children, their grandchildren, you know, like we're there in the wilderness at the tabernacle, getting loved on by the Lord and His ways and fashioned. But Samuel's family helped him. His mother Hannah, if you don't know the story, you can read about it in first chapter 1 and chapter 2. But she was barren, and she was, you know, she was treated like less than a woman because she was barren. And she cried out to the Lord. She was a woman of God. They were not far from Shiloh. I don't know how long, but she would go to the tabernacle. She would be praying outside the tent. She was calling out to the Lord for a gift, for, you know, for honoring her prayer request. And she would honor the answering of that prayer and God's faithfulness. And so the miracle happened. Samuel was born. She named him Samuel because it means asked of God. I asked God for you, and now she's going to give her son back to God. You know, it's hard to get that, but this happened a lot back in the day. But when she, on that day that she came back to Shiloh, to Eli the priest, in 1 Samuel 1, 27, 28, she says, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition I asked of him." You can hear Samuel, the name in there, what she's saying. And then to the Eli, she said, "So I have dedicated him to the Lord as long as he lives." Then it says, Samuel worshiped the Lord there. You know, he was brought up in a family that worshiped the Lord, that reverence, that awe. You know, I'm sure there was some kind of, you know, bowing of the head, but he worshiped the Lord. He already had that beginning, that connection through family. He was positioned. He was given to God to be taught how to live and how to walk in the Lord's anointed ways. And Hannah wrote a song of thanksgiving. You have to read it. You have to pray through it. Not right now. Do it some other time. But in chapter 2, verse 2, "No one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there's no one like thee. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor." You can just hear chanting, reciting praise to God. You know, we dedicate and we baptize our children. You know, older children, young adults, older adults are, you know, they bring themselves to be baptized, a believer baptism, but we do a lot of baptism and dedication of babies. And we can do no less than offer them wholly to the Lord. How do we do that? What does that look like? And to make sure they are situated to learn His ways. And no apology here. The children do not have a choice on this until they're 18, right? Right? Whose house do they live in? You know? We'll leave it at that. But it's your house, your choice. So Samuel's family. God uses families. And now more than ever, there's going to be a whole new change. I mean, there'll be a lot more schooling taking place at home. And God's going to use the family and connect families and networks. And that's going to be quite a bringing up of kids and the fear of the Lord, the anointing of His ways. So thank God for the family. So second, Eli, the priest, positioned Samuel in ministry practices, and he shielded him, he protected him, especially from his sons. Now, stay away from those two. You know, you stay over here with me, you learn the ways. Eli was old. His sons were characterized. Do you know they were characterized as SOBs? Now, wait a minute. If you look it up, they're characterized as sons of Belial. If you have your Bibles open, you probably have a little note there. And that's just a term that means wicked, ruthless, lawless. You can throw in everything else. 1 Samuel 3:1, it goes right in. Samuel is already ministering to the Lord before Eli. So he's coming under the authority of the priesthood. He's learning the ropes. He's cleaning the pews. He's cleaning the toilets, if you will. He's picking up bulletins. He's lighting the candles. He's learning the ropes. He's all around the altar. He's vacuuming the altar. He's, you know, whatever it was back in that, he did it. He was doing it all. That's how you learn. That's part of the best disciple making. Is getting involved in the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty of church. Down in the furnace room. That's more like a prayer room, but we'll get to that. But he was learning it all. He puts the two sons to shame. And Eli must be so joy-filled. You know, his failure. He's told, you haven't harnessed in your boys. There's going to be consequences, Eli. And Eli said, I know. But now he has this chance. You pour your life into one individual, and they can change the whole world. But it takes that training. You know, that couple years of good training and discipleship. But Eli keeps him close. And even attends to Eli's needs. He's old. He can't see. Eli keeps him close always. By even having him sleep in the tabernacle. I just pondered that quite a bit. I couldn't get my mind off it. And I think I've already been kind of talking about that. What was that like being in the temple? You know, we think about the temple. You couldn't go anywhere near the Holy of Holies, but it's not the physical temple yet. It's the tabernacle. It's the tent of meeting. But he was there in the tabernacle. I mean, all of them were encamped around there. And probably Eli said, no, you're not going to my tent. That's where those two, well, I love them, but yeah, they're awful. Just stay away from those two. But you know what it is? Because in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. And if you don't know, the Ark of the Covenant spiritually was the manifestation of God's physical presence on earth. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And I believe it beamed up and down, heaven to earth, above that Ark. For above the Ark, between the cherubim, that's where Moses spoke with the Lord. The holiness, the presence of God. You're going to sleep as close as you can get to that Ark. That's the best training, the holiness of the Lord, Samuel. You know, when the ark went before them, that, you know, when they carried that ark, they couldn't touch it. It was on poles. When it walked, it killed snakes. It burned a trail. There's no virus or COVID-19 that get anywhere near that ark. Do you hear me? Oh, the Ark of the Covenant. And why else did Eli keep Samuel close to the ark? Well, verse 7 says that Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. He'd never heard a word from him yet. He's serving, he's learning. He's learning how to do this and that. He's learning the stories from the Bible, and he can, you know, recite some things. He knows how to work his way around church life and pews and, you know. But it's a lot more than just coming to church. The Lord wants us to know Him. to hear from Him. Even in the watches of the night, when there's the dark night of the soul that some of you are facing right now, there's a dark night of the soul. There's hardship, there's grief and loss. Sometimes the Lord is silent, but He's not silent right now, folks. He's calling. He's calling. Maybe if I just shut up, He might speak. No, I got to keep going. He is speaking. He is speaking. What a lesson for us all, the children, the youth. They need to be in all worship settings. They need to be at every praise and worship. They need to be at every prayer meeting. That might mean that some parents and some grandparents or aunts and uncles are going to have to come to prayer meetings and praise meetings. They need to be in ministry and leading ministry. They need to be in worship teams. And I know the worship team will love this, that God is bringing new sound and new music through young and old. And He's even going to start gifting children at a young age. They'll pick up an instrument and they will play it. I think there was some miracle like that back in the day. Some people all of a sudden were able to play. That was God's anointing and gift. And that's what's going to be happening, folks. There's going to be spontaneous worship happen down at the corner and in the park. And God's pillar of fire by night is going to fall upon that park, and there'll be such a holiness going on. I better get back to my notes here. There's nothing going on. The fireworks are over, right? But helping our kids learn and help us to reconnect, to hear the Lord, to know the Lord, showing them the way, joining with them. What a lesson for us all. You know, what's the ark, keeping us close to the ark? You know, it's the altar area, it's prayer rooms. We have access to Almighty God, where two or three are gathered. In my name, Jesus said, I am there with you. That's the holiness of God, the power of God. Yes. So the best thing the church can do is to give opportunities. And we can't twist arms. You know, we can't twist arms, but make available and offer the invitation for all the kids, all the youth, young and old, adults to be involved in every aspect of the church. Well, 3, Samuel learned. He learned how to position himself. He's still a young man, but he was taught, and you know, the wonderful story that first night when he's, you know, God's calling to him. He thinks it's Eli. So 3 times back and forth, go lay down. And then the old priest, the word of the Lord has been kind of like nil here lately. This must be the Lord. This must be the Lord. So he says in verse 9, when the Lord calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Sometimes we want the Lord to speak, but we're not listening. But speak, Lord. And he did just that. The Lord came and stood. The Lord's presence was right there. Well, he was pretty close to the ark too, right? And it changed Samuel's life. He told him, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken. And you can read what he's spoken about him in the chapter before. It's all there. A man came up to him with a word from the Lord and laid it all out for Eli. He knew it was coming. This just confirms it. But the Lord wants his fire to be ignited in all of us. Oh, Lord, that there wouldn't be more harsh words of judgment than beautiful, wonderful words of grace and mercy. Eli's legacy is done. Samuel's was just beginning. He is in the right place. He's in an enduring house of praise and worship, and ministry is being built. It's a family of believers bold enough to show up in places of difficulty. The Lord wants us to show up in those difficult places, folks. Places of distress, revealing God's love and compassion and faithfulness. God has spoken. He's speaking now. His strategies that He is using are the family, the church, and helping each individual believer to position themselves, going against what mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and what everybody's telling them, you can't do that, but the Lord told me I'm going to do that. So they will follow the Lord's voice, but with discernment from their elders, of course. It's time for the church to get right with the Lord. God will forgive. God will heal. He will fill His church with His glory. He will fill believers with His Spirit. Time to humble ourselves. To regularly confess our sins. God knows it already. Just come clean with them and you'll be free for the day. Why do we hold on to them? We think God doesn't know. Woo! Well, we got that wrong. Regularly confess our sins and cleanse our hearts and return to the Lord. It's not a life of perfection. God has given us a way to be perfected in His love and His ways, His anointed ways around His tabernacle. This is our come to Jesus moment for this week. The week starts today. We get to come forward to the altar, to the Lord's table. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary. There's a lot of weariness out here, folks. It's not me putting you to sleep. It's the weariness in your life is putting you to sleep. All you who are carrying heavy burdens, leave them up at the altar today. He says, I will give you rest. Jesus is about giving us rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Kids need that kind of burden. Youth need that kind of burden. Adults need that kind of burden. So let us offer ourselves now, along with our tithes and offerings. I'll just tie in a little prayer here with our offering. But are you willing to offer yourselves today? Speak, Lord, or accept me as the offering today. I give you myself. I give you what I have, Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, you are a beckoning God. In the stillness of the night, you called Samuel into your service. Call me, call us into that emergency service right now, Lord. With a voice we're able to hear. Give us hearts to come when we are called. Lord, we offer our tithes and offerings. But maybe that's not the fullness of the sacrifice, the offering you're asking of us today. So in Jesus' name, this church releases all children, youth, and adults to your call and your timing. We want this, Lord. We need to hear from you now. Oh, Lord, we need to hear from you now, but we love you. We give these tithes and offerings along with ourselves. Amen.
I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. need to hear it now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see.
This is the table of the Lord. This is a table of love for each and every one of you. And our Savior invites all that trust in Him to share the feast that He has prepared for us. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took the bread and He had given thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, blessed forever, to You be the praise and honor for giving Yourself, shedding Your blood, and letting Your body be broken in death for our sake, so that we may have the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Bless, O God, this bread which we together eat and this cup which we together drink. Let us, through this blessed bread and this blessed cup, become partakers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the body and the blood of Christ, broken and shed for you. So I invite all who put their trust in the Lord to come forward and partake. We have elements on each side of the wing, so feel free to come when you are ready and bring them back to your seat to partake.
Have you come to the end of your life?
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Give us now your peace and grant us strength and courage through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we lift up those right now, Lord, to you, all who are grieving during this time, especially remembering Liz Montambo and her family and Troy Muckle and his family, but all those that we know and don't know, Lord. We lift them up to you and ask that your presence be with them, that your love surround them, and that they may find peace and comfort in you, Lord. We lift up Gary Merrill's family, his daughter Katie and his sister Linda, to you, Lord. We ask for wisdom in their conditions, Father, that you would give their doctors wisdom on how to treat them and causes of what's going on, Lord. For you are the great physician. We ask that your hand of healing touch them, that they may be whole as you created them to be. And in this time, Lord, we lift up our country, our entire world to you, Lord. We ask for your protection. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your strength. We ask for your endurance and perseverance, Lord. Help us all to wait expectantly because we know that you will work everything out for good, Lord, according to your purpose. So help us to see. Help us to rely and trust in you deeper, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you at any moment, that the veil is torn and that we can enter into the Holy of Holies, that we are always in the tabernacle of the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for being the sacrifice so that we may come into the Holy of Holies with our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
earth is done.
Thank you, Abba Father. You have sent us out with grateful, thankful hearts. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Bless everyone indeed, Lord. Expand their influence for you. Oh, your hand be with them. Keep them from evil, and may we all never be of any harm to anyone. Thank you, Lord. Amen.